Oh, it's not teleportation.
How can you transfer something instantly
okay.
and not be teleported? What's the difference then at that point?
Do you know what a Klein bottle is?
No, maybe.
Do you know what a Mobius strip is?
Yes, Mobius strip, yes.
So a Mobius strip is a two-dimensional object that's been folded into the third dimension and then reattached back into the second dimension.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the graph.
Creating something that in a two-dimensional plane isn't possible.
Right.
Right? So a Klein bottle is the three-dimensional equivalent of that, where you've folded a three-dimensional object into the fourth dimension and then back onto the third dimension to create something that only has one side and intertwines with itself in a really interesting way. And it's one example of like fourth dimensional objects represented in 3D. And so we can't physically make it, but we can mathematically prove it. And so it's right. So the notion is not moving through space. It's moving space.
Right.
Yeah. So it's getting out of the dimensions that we're stuck in.
Are you saying that's teleportation or that's your method?
That's how I did it without teleportation.
What would teleportation be then? Would it be actually transmitting the energy or like your molecules to that location?
Yeah.
But then you're limited at the speed of light.
Probably. So I didn't use teleportation because I morally don't agree with it. So I found a different solution.
Wait. Here's an interesting question that I've never heard in sci-fi. What if teleportation wasn't instantaneous? So as a human, as you accelerate towards the speed of light, that can cause can kill you. Moving at the speed of light, whatever that does, for some reason, we could say that humans can never survive traveling at the speed of light. And if we start on that premise, then we say the only way to actually travel then is to break down your molecules basically and transmit your molecules at the speed of light. I'm going to reassemble you somewhere else. But that brings in some really interesting properties around that. That's very interesting. I kind of want to write that now. Just as like a little story, be like, I want to explore like what would that mean? You know?
I found a way that's faster than the speed of light that doesn't require you to die. So
we're wormholes, but... Mm-mm, mm-mm.
Nah, don't mess with wormholes. I figured those things out too. You don't even want to touch those.
You're talking about gaps.
Wormholes wrong. Okay. No, I'm not talking about gaps.
What you were talking about was essentially break. You know, space time. You fold space time on itself, the book. And they had a crappy movie that came out. Was Oprah in it? I don't remember. No, this is going to bother me now. Darn it. Darn you, Devin. Wrinkle in Time.
I don't know what that is.
Well, that's how they explain how they travel. It's like you have a stick or a string.
My favorite.
The whole string.
Actually, and my- together. The only there's two representations of time travel that I've appreciated. There's two. One is Paradox. He's a Ben 10 superhero. So Paradox was like so many superheroes. He is a scientist who is trying an experiment that went horribly wrong. Right. And there's an explosion and everyone was presumed dead. And the explosion actually launched him outside of space-time.
Right.
So he found himself in a white void. Mm-hmm. And I really love the way that he explains his experience. Because he, like, outside of space-time, doesn't age.
Yeah.
Doesn't need food, doesn't need water, doesn't get thirsty, but he's thinking. Mm-hmm. And so he expresses his experience. He's like, now, you might suspect that someone in that situation would go mad. And I did, and eventually got bored of that too.
Yeah.
I just love that line.
Yeah.
He's like, I was crazy until it was boring. Yeah. But then he's like, eventually he came to the point where he learned. and he studied. Right. He figured out how the universe works. Mm-hmm. So he time travels and teleports, but he doesn't. And like from his perspective, and he can't express it to others, but he can show it to them. Like he can take others through time. But the way that he'll explain it is some time travelers will need a time traveling machine, will need a device to time travel, but that's only because they don't really understand the map. It's just this funny like nuance of him like literally like taking a jab at every time traveler ever and saying he's better. But that's one of them. The other one that I really liked was in the show Fringe, they had characters that were like observers. I don't know what their technical title was, but their job, like, and this is a common job, but their job was to like observe the happenings of the universe and never to interact with them. Yeah. And the Fringe department learned about them because one person was not following their job description and was messing with things. But the notion was, the demonstration was, I appreciated because they had a tube. Mm-hmm. Most people, and they were pouring water through the tube for the demonstration. They're like, most people perceive time like this tube. They start in this end, flow through this end, and then it's over. And then he just puts his finger on it and chats an air bubble. It's like, some people move through time freely.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like that expression of like, it's not, and both of the ones that I like about time travel are like, effectively arguing that what they're doing isn't time travel.
Exactly. Exactly. Which is cool because like what we think time travel would look like is probably not at all like completely wrong. And we legitimately,
I also like it because if you can effectively explain a framework where your version of time travel isn't time travel, you no longer have to answer the common paradoxes of time travel. You've escaped them entirely.
Exactly. Well, it's like Doctor Who.
Well, Doctor Who just doesn't try, but should.
Well, because... I mean, on a certain extent, they're just like, it's time, it's complicated, and I understand it, but no one else does because I'm the only Time Lord.
Well, like, as far as Doctor Who's writing of time travel is effectively the same as like, why does Superman have every power under the book? Because bad writers keep giving him new powers. It's not a plot device. It's a lack of a plot device.
Don't insult my...
Doctor Who is a lack of a plot device.
But Doctor Who is not a time travel show. It's a buddy cop show. That's essentially what it is. It's a buddy cop show.
Well, so like Doctor Who has the most... consistent framework episode to episode that I've ever seen in any television show. From the first 5 minutes, you know exactly how the show's gonna go, like to a T every time, because they're just obnoxiously systematic with very few exceptions. Their version of time travel is, let's not think about it, let's not deal with it, let's lie every chance we get, let's be internally inconsistent, and let's make it up as we go, and let's not care. And let's make sure our fans are okay with that, because we're going to tell them they don't get to know.
And they are.
And so then and
we are
like, when I see like YouTube show channels and episodes that are like, places where Doctor Who had great consistency, and I'm like, okay. And I go and watch them, and you know, like Bad Wolf was a pretty consistent theme they ran for a while. So that's something that they'll throw out. Right. And I'm like,
that's a tattoo I want.
The examples that you guys use for good consistency in Doctor Who is like commonplace in every other cinematic world ever.
Yeah.
And they're not good consistency. They're like, oh, look, they actually had consistency.
Yeah. I just want to say, as someone who loves screenwriting a lot, even though I'll never be a screenwriter anymore, I love the art of it. Watching that first season, and learn first, like getting into Doctor Who and like absolutely loving it, because I loved it. That was my point where I was, everything in my life was sci-fi. Going through that and then having that payoff at the end where I just realized that I had fully just walked into their trap, and I got to experience that. Like, I wish, like, that's a moment where that I want to experience for the first time again. Like, I want Dementia and want to watch that first season, because that first season was just magical. Like, it walking into the world of Doctor Who that first season was just like unlocking magic. and having that payoff at the end, which is why I don't think, like, looking back on it, I don't think it's the best season ever. I don't think, like, writing story-wise, character development, I don't think it's, like, it's good, but I don't think it's great. But, like, watching it for the first time is a completely different experience because you're just, if you let yourself be enthralled, you are truly enthralled. And at that point, the method of time travel doesn't matter. That's why I didn't like in the later seasons when they tried to, like, work themselves in a hole of being like, yeah, oh, time travel, like, oh, no, we're limited by this because that's how time travel works. I'm like, no, you lost the magic of Doctor Who. Like, the whole, like, plot line of, like, this is a fixed point, I have to die. And then he doesn't anyway. Like, I'm like, no, it wasn't a fixed point then. Like what you're talking about makes no sense. You worked your way into a hole that you made to try to, like, give it stakes because you understood, like, you got a valid complaint that you usually don't have stakes because you can just magic things away, which is great. That's why people watch it, is because it truly is magic and you're not there to watch, like, a serious, like,
well, there's also, like,
show about time travel.
The consistent theme throughout Doctor Who is, I mean, the Doctor is this literally smartest being in the galaxy, can solve any problem that he ever faces.
Yep.
No, nothing's a threat to him. Right. And when it looks like he's losing, he's not. He's playing the game.
Yep.
Like, that's the consistent theme. So the interesting points of Doctor Who are that he's consistently, and, like, from the Time War that's mythed about, like, through and through, he's consistently not good enough. He's constantly finding himself in problems where he's the only person in the world who can save the day, but he can't get what he wants.
Yeah.
Or not the world, the universe. He's the only person in all of existence, in all of history.
Yeah.
Who has any
chance exactly all of this.
Yeah. And he will save the day. And nobody will know what happened. And he will suffer. Yep. And his friends will suffer.
Yeah.
Like, that's the motif of Doctor Who. Like, every single character who ever comes into contact with the Doctor will just experience misery for the rest of reality.
Yep.
Like that, and
misery while they're with him and misery when they're not with him because they miss being with him.
Mm-hmm. And it's just And it's funny too, like, that they consistently put those as, like, when it comes to the people he cares about, and especially when it's, like, time to move on and give him a new companion, like, the ways that they separate him from his companions are, like, ways that it's, like, they literally wrote in, the Doctor can fix everything except this. Like,
yeah.
And it's a really interesting way of, like, letting actors leave and letting the dynamics shift, that they're just like, oh, yeah, actually, there's no solution to this.
Yeah, the Doctor can't do this. Why? Because he can't.
Yeah. And if it's possible, the Doctor's the one who can do it. So
yeah, or he does it for them. But did you watch any of the later seasons? Like, I think it's season 9.
No.
Do you mind spoilers?
No.
I don't think you care, right? So one of my favorite episodes in all of television comes in with, I think it was the first season with what's his name? Darn, that's gonna bother Peter Capaldi. So I was at a point, like, Matt Smith had just left, and Matt Smith was just like, he was different from David Tennant. David Tennant still is the best by far. David Tennant is just literally the most amazing person.
David Tennant is the Doctor.
He is, true. And Matt Smith had came in, and Matt Smith brought a whole different energy, and he was fun and exciting. And I felt that it went along a little too long. I think he stayed on the series a little.
I didn't like him. Actually, that's when I stopped watching Doctor Who.
You had to watch it differently, which I was young enough and I was new enough to, and I love sci-fi so much that I was willing to, like, alter my watch, like, how I watch Doctor Who, because it became very goofy and I didn't care for that. But also there's a lot of really cool, like, Amy and Rory were, like, the best companions ever. And I absolutely love their dynamics. So they helped a lot balance him out. But then, so he left, and then Peter Capaldi came on, and I didn't watch it at first. I'm like, I don't know the actor. I don't, like, at that point, I was kind of easing myself away from Doctor Who. But finally, one day, it was, like, free on Amazon, and so I just watched it. And I did not like him at first. I thought he was a terrible choice. I was like, he's so serious and brutal. Like, going from Matt Smith to Peter Capaldi is a complete 180 turn. And
Isn't that the general rule, though, every time there's a new every time there's a new doctor, everyone hates the Doctor for, like, the first half of the season that he's in.
And not David Tennant. But I mean, Christopher Eccleston, he only got one season, which I think is a little, I think he got, should have got another season, but whatever.
Well, I think, I can only speak for myself, but when David Tennant first came on, it took me several episodes to like him. And then I liked him far better.
But, yeah. I genuinely don't remember how long it took me to like him. I think I liked him right away, but I don't remember. But there's this episode and it was towards the end of the, I think it was the end of the first season. And it's, which is what sealed the deal. And it made me love Peter Capaldi and appreciate his take on the Doctor so much. And why I think, I mean, in my opinion, he's the second best. I mean, I haven't watched the newest Doctor Who seasons just because they're not free. So I'm not, it's not worth paying like $3 an episode for
sure.
Them. I could just polystream them, but whatever. But there's this episode where
I don't endorse that. I'll never endorse it.
I said I could. I didn't say I would.
Nope. Never gonna be okay with that. Never.
And so, there's this episode. He wakes up in a tower. He looks at the stars and he goes, "Wait, what?" He's like, "I don't remember time traveling." He's like, "It's 3 million years from when I remember last." He wakes up. He goes through a series. He's trying to find his way out. He sees a river. He sees like an ocean with skulls at the bottom of it. And there's through a series of events, he ends up trying to get out. And he hits this. He sees the TARDIS. He hits a crystal wall in front of him. Obviously, it doesn't really do anything. He's trying to get out. He gets chased by whatever monster that was there. Ends up dying, cloning himself from like 2 minutes earlier. And what you realize is that he does that for about 5-7 billion years, having the same discovery that, I'm way too far in the future. Oh, wait. And then realizing that this is why he got there and how he got there, and he figures it out at the end. He goes through it again. And the emotional journey of that, and basically the story is that he hits the, like, and this for me is just like, he hits the crystal wall for seven trillion years or something like that. And every each iteration, he hits it, and finally breaks through this 20-foot wall of crystal, and finally breaks through and escapes. And it's you have to watch it to grasp the full emotional thing range of it. And that was such a huge metaphor for him as the Doctor. And how what he really brings to the table is he brings a more serious version of David Tennant, and he really brings that emotional just like weight.
David Tennant was pretty serious.
He was, but Peter Capaldi's even more so. Peter Capaldi barely has a fun side too.
Is that like a good thing though? Because
well, no, but it made me appreciate that take of a Doctor like way more than Matt Smith, because Matt Smith was just too goofy. I'm like, the Doctor feels responsible for every single person that has ever lived and will ever live, and he has the weight of their souls on him, and that's who the Doctor is. And Peter Capaldi represented that in such a meaningful way. And I mean, the writing on that and that season, those seasons that he was on too, was just incredible to like really showcase. And like, I think he was on for two or three, and I feel like those seasons are really meant to show this is who the Doctor keeps at bay. Like, this is the side of him that he does not usually show. And I just appreciate that. I appreciate his performance so much. And it took me a good, I think it took me a full season of watching. And then after I did, I was so glad that I actually watched it. That's what I love. And that's why the thing I love about Doctor Who is that, by the premise of having reiterations of dying and then being reborn, basically, is that you get to explore all the different ranges of that character in really cool and interesting ways. And you get to have different people give their own takes and then of course it's so much fun, like when they do like the time travel things where they meet their past selves and then they're doing stuff together. It's great. I love it.
I haven't seen those.
Oh yeah, it's a few specials. I think two or three of the Christmas specials have done that.
I haven't seen any of their Christmas specials.
No, I don't blame you. It's hard. Like, they don't make it easy to understand what order to watch all the specials, because they're not just Christmas specials. There are specials too. Like the 50th anniversary special was really good. And it makes it so they don't make it easy. Like, there's no, it doesn't, You have to like find, look for the dates, find the order, and then watch the season and figure out which Christmas special to watch after that season. And the thing is, like, most of the Christmas specials are where he dies and gets turned into the next Doctor. So you can't skip them. Otherwise, you lose a fundamental part of the series. But yeah, I just... And then the way they have the different companions and the way they match them together, I feel like they usually get right. There's been a few missteps. I thought Rose should have gone from the first season. I don't think her and David Tennant worked very well together.
Really?
Or at least, no, I'm sorry. I don't like the way she... The
she's the like character. The fan favorites companion of all time.
No, Amy and Rory for me are the best.
They're, okay, they're but favorites. She's like the fan.
I know. So. But
that's an interesting...
My problem with it is not necessarily with her, but it's the way they wrote her was like a white... Like someone who obviously... like had understandable like thought she lost, you know, the person that changed her life, and then she has to get used to the new doctor, and that was kind of the storyline. Okay, we have this person who life was changed, and now in a very short amount of time has to get used to this person being a completely different person and trying to come to terms with, is this the person that I love or not, because she did have fall in love with the doctor. And I just don't like the amount of like just whininess they put in her. Like the amount of like poutiness, I would say. I think that's a better word. Is that she has so much, Rose has so much more to offer than just being like pouty that her doctor changed. And I don't, and I think that's why they should have left Christopher Eccleston on for another season and then done away with them and Rose. But I understand they have to transition it, and it's hard to transition and get people to love the characters. And so they keep old characters in to transition you into the new characters. I understand that. It's just unfortunate that they wrote her that way. And not to mention River Song, one of the best, like, neutral, chaotic characters of all time. Oh, someone who travels, it's such a cool, like, two time travelers, kind of like weirdly in love with each other, but not, but also like, it's just, yeah, fun. We could do an intro right now being like, Dev and I were just chatting about Doctor Who. We talked a lot about the nerdy stuff we love, and we definitely overthought this, so we thought we'd just make this little bonus episode.
You just did it.